you, Keith and Bethany. Well, we're in for a treat tonight. If you notice the last couple of services, we've had a family over here with us doing sign language. That's Brother Andy Dignan and his family, his brothers with him. They both pastor. Brother Andy's in Missouri, and your brother's in Texas, right? Yep. And so we've asked him to bring the message tonight, and I believe his family's going to sing for us. So you come on, brother.
Amen. Well, it is an honor to be here. Don't mind me, I'm still in the vacation mode. Let me introduce myself a little to you, because most of y'all have no idea who I am, and I appreciate Brother Pouch letting me come and be a part of this. And does Brother Carter actually watch the services or no? He is, I mean, he's watching it on his iPad. No. Let me just say real quickly to you, Brother Carter, thank you so much. My brother and sister who are here, my brother Nick, I got saved at 18, so I'd already graduated from public school, but my younger siblings immediately got saved and just got immersed into the Independent Baptist Christianity movement. I thank God for it, and they both graduated through the homeschool curriculum of this place back in 96, bro, 96, and then my sister, 95, and then sis was, which my sister's deaf, and she graduated last week. Just kidding. No, she graduated in 99. And this ministry had an influence on us years ago, and we're so thankful for that. Yes, I am. Was privileged to be born into a home of deaf parents. My mom and dad are deaf. My sister's deaf. My sister just gave birth to my niece. She's 4 months old, and she's deaf, which makes 5 generations of deafness in our family. My grandparents were deaf. My great-grandparents are deaf. All my aunts and uncles are deaf, and so we're so thankful for that opportunity, because now we're able to sign and reach out to the deaf. Both of us have deaf ministries in our churches, and I praise the Lord for that. We had so much deafness in our home, we even had a deaf dog growing up. And people always ask me, it's true, and it is. It's true. I got family to witness it. He got hit by a car. He didn't hear the horn blowing. It was a tragedy. And I'm sorry. How many animal lovers do we have in the building today? Animal lovers? I love animals, too, right next to my mashed potatoes and green beans. How many cat lovers? Do you have any cat lovers in the building? All right, honey mustard or barbecue sauce? I'm just curious. Amen. But it's an honor to be here. And I thank Brother Carter for his influence across this country. And, you know, we found out we were close enough to this church, and we had to come here Wednesday night and today and tomorrow. And my brother will actually still be here Wednesday night, your family. But we start heading back home on Tuesday. And we're so thankful for your ministry. Listen, I pastor in Missouri. Brother Nick pastors in Texas. I travel all over the country. I have the privilege of preaching camps and conferences. We were on the road 12 out of 14 weeks this past summer at camps and conferences as high north as Michigan and New Hampshire and all the way down south and Texas and Arkansas, where they wear those belt buckles the size of a hubcap. Amen. And but everywhere I go, there's not a place that I know of that does not know about Mickey Carter and your church's influence on this country. And so thank you so much, church. We are just so honored to be here. Well, my brother and I were privileged to have played on some state championship football teams in high school. We both were recruited to play college-level football, but God saved us. And people ask us all the time if we gave up football scholarship to serve the Lord. Let me just set something straight for the record. You don't give up anything to serve the Lord. You don't. We dropped one piece of leather and picked up this piece of leather, and we don't apologize for that. And I thank God this leather changed my life more than that dead pigskin, amen. And I praise the Lord for that. So God has been good. So that's a little bit about our family. My mom and dad are here with us on this trip. And of course, my sister, we already mentioned, her husband wasn't able to come because he had to stay back and work. And then my brother and his family. And my wife and kids will make their way now. And we're going to sing a song for you. And they sing with me all summer long and travel with me when we travel and preach. I got saved at 18 in July of 94, and 2 months later went to Hiles Anderson College. I'd only wore a tie twice in my life and found out I had to wear a tie every day. So that was a shocker. And then met my wife, and then at 22 years old, God voted me in, God allowed me to be voted in at pastor at Bible Baptist Church in Jefferson City, the capital of Missouri, at 22 years old, and we've been there 18 years this past May, and we're so thankful for that. My brother Nick worked alongside me for 15 years, and God called him away to pastor in the state of Texas, and he's doing a great job down there, and so we're just honored to be here. Thank you so much. I didn't expect to preach. I didn't even really bring my suit, you know. I traveled light, so don't mind me. I mean, I'm preaching with a tie. I did get a tie today, but I am preaching with Air Jordans on, so I apologize for that. But the good news for y'all is I'll be running faster, so the message should go quicker tonight. And you might even see a slam dunk or two, maybe. I don't know, but we'll have a good time. And we will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn there, I will not preach real long. I don't preach very long. I want to thank Brother Pouts again. Brother Parsons, where are you at? Brother Parsons, thank you, brother. And then where's the preacher that preaches morning? Brother Oswardy. Wow, what a message. Thank you. What a message. Thank you, preacher. And the Sunday school teacher this morning. Wow, it's phenomenal. Where are you at? You're in the sound room. That was a blessing, brother. Man, they got you in the corner. Wow, they punished you for that. Was a great Sunday school message. Okay, good teaching. Now go stand in the corner, amen. But that was a blessing. Let me brag on him real quickly. I did not know he was teaching Sunday school this morning. I had no clue. And here I was asking him where my kids would go to Sunday school. He treated us like royalty this morning and helped get my kids where they were going. I mean, he could have easily said, "I'm getting ready to teach right now," and you know, went and found somebody else. But he ministered to our family. And then he gets up and teaches. I'm like, oh, I feel bad. I didn't know he was getting ready to teach, but I never knew that. So I appreciate that. Thank you for being a good reflection on this church. So, and Brother Carter, I'm humbled. I thank you for being faithful. I don't know which camera to look at, so I'll just bow my head and pray, man. Thank you, Brother Carter, for your years of faithfulness. I just admire that so much. God is good. So, all right, let's stand and read the scripture, and then we'll pray. We'll be seated. They'll sing, and we'll get right into the message for tonight. Oh, here it is right here. It's already on. This mic's already on. Okay, yep, got it. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. I'll give you the title after a while, and it is good to be here. I love my Bohemian friends. I got to meet some of you Bohemian friends here. What you say, boy? And, you know, I've learned some of the Bohemian lingo. I love Switcha, and I know a little bit of language. I've been there 4 times. My wife and I are going back this November to preach at a national deaf conference. So pray for us there in the Bahamas this November. And we love the Bahamians. I got some good friends in that country, and I praise the Lord for the ministry's effect in the country of the Bahamas, too. Verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, or as they would say in the Bahamas, a thief in the night. Amen. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I love this. Look at this. But ye brethren are not in darkness. Isn't that a blessing? That's kind of what the Sunday school teacher taught this morning. Great, great truth. We're not in darkness. We get understanding. Amen. But we're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. If God tells us not to sleep, that means we have the potential to sleep. He says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Father, thank you for this truth tonight. Thank you for this great church and ministry. I'm honored and humbled to be standing in this man's pulpit. And Lord, I thank you for this great staff, and thank you for Brother Carter. Lord, this is a memory I'll have just to stand in his pulpit. I'm here, to Lord, and I'm just humbled by that. Lord, as was already said this morning, my brother Oswardy, that this pulpit really, it's all about you, Lord. It doesn't matter who preaches tonight, but rather the who. And Lord, we want to preach you, Jesus. You are so worthy. Thank you for saving us. And if somebody's not saved, save that precious soul in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We heard about the blood this morning. Our family like to sing a song about the blood. Thank you.
Thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted by sin and shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood.
Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ. God is good. 1 Thessalonians 5, and preaching this morning, of course, a phenomenal reminder of the blood. And, of course, this day is 9-11, and I remember exactly where I was. I was actually preaching in Ecuador, South America, for my deaf uncle, Ray Bradley, who I think's actually been in this church before years ago. And he and his wife have been ministering in Ecuador for many years. And I was preaching for him when 9-11 happened. And I'll never forget being out of the country. You know, you talk about a change. I flew down to Ecuador before 9-11 and flew back to America after 9-11. Everything changed. It was amazing to see the change that took place. And being reminded of that just stirred my heart. And, you know, it just seems typical of us as Americans, because I remember coming back to a country that was just revived almost. I mean, maybe not about Christianity, but about patriotism at least. And I remember the God Bless America signs and the flags. Remember flags? I mean, people were buying flags like crazy and putting them on their car windows. And the NFL teams and college sports teams were being taken out of the way of the cars. And American flags are put there. And people were just stirred about America again. Even for a little while, there was a little bit of peace in Washington, D.C., it seemed like, as they rallied together to try to make America strong. But as typical, time passes and we forget things. And I've begun to do a study on this subject, and I believe Satan has used a different... He used tactics all throughout the generations of different Christians and movements and so on, and he's attacked the church and found out when he does that, the church grows and prospers. So I think one of the things he's become a master at in these last days is to start to slowly lull the church to sleep. You see, he knows that when a person gets saved, he can't get our soul. Well, I thank God, once you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing in this universe that can change that. I thank God my salvation depends on Him and not on myself. I thank God for 18 years I tried my way to heaven, and I found out you just trust your way to heaven. And I'm so glad He saved me, and I'm so thankful for that. And the devil knows he can't get our soul, but what he can do is get us sleepy or in a state of sleep. I'm talking about a spiritual sleep here, and you'll see there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is telling the church, Christians, not to go to sleep. And if he commands us not to go to sleep, that means that we have the potential to go to sleep. And so, Christians tonight, I want to challenge you to join me. I'm on a mission to stay spiritually awake and stirred. I have four children, and we travel this country all year long, pastoring a church and preaching. We have 31 meetings this year. Most of them are youth conferences and youth meetings, because I've not reached the level of maturity to preach to adults all the time. But anyway, and we have a great time. And one of the things I love to do, especially when my kids were younger, was drive all night. In fact, we left 1 o'clock this Monday morning after having Chuck Harding preach for us all day Sunday on God and Country Sunday, and I drove all night. Why? So my kids would sleep, and when the sun came up, we'd already be 7 hours into the trip, and my kids wouldn't be asking me, Daddy, how much farther? How many dads can relate? Yeah, I had to give up a night of sleep, but I think that's a fair trade to have quiet children as you travel all night long. Amen? Why? Because when you sleep, time goes by quicker. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Tomorrow morning, your alarm's going to go off, and you're going to say, no way. Bible college students, I've been there. What? I just said it. I just laid down. It can't be. There's a mistake. And the alarm's going off. Why? Because if the devil can get the church to fall asleep until the rapture, by the way, which is the next event on God's calendar, then he's going to be successful in effect. Now, I heard an old-time preacher say that there are some parallels. We'll get preaching in just a second. So let's take our Bible story to Matthew 26. There are some parallels between Jesus's time on earth and his ministry on earth and his crucifixion and resurrection, there's some parallels to that which would be taking place prior to the rapture. We understand that the second coming and the rapture are two different things. I know I'm not preaching anything new to y'all. The second coming will be when he physically touches this earth, and I'm so glad I'm going to be on his side when he comes back. Amen. The rapture is when he'll meet the church in the air and call us out, and I'm looking forward to that, and I thank the Lord for that. But in Matthew 26, I want to ask you a question, an interesting question, and I want to make a little parallel here, and then we'll go back to 1 Thessalonians for the rest of the evening. I want you to look at me in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. The Bible says this: "Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples," and I want you to look at this now, "and he findeth," what are the next two words? Say it again. Say it one more time. All right, tell your neighbor, don't go to sleep. All right, tell your neighbor, I'm glad I don't look like you. And if you're sitting by your wife, don't say that to your wife, amen. Wives, you feel free to say that to your husbands. "And saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Watch this now. These are his disciples. These are his inner core. These are his right-hand men, so to speak. He says, "Watch and pray that you're not in temptation." Now watch. Look at verse 42. "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them," next two words. Say it again. "Asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time," verse 44, "saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now." And then watch what he says in verse 46. "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas." Judas. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we'll be in the Thessalonians for the rest of the evening. But I have a question for you tonight. It's a very simple question. You don't have to answer it out loud unless you want to, but I got a question. Who woke up the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus? Did he? It seemed like every time Jesus woke them up, they fell back asleep. But when Judas showed up, they woke up and stayed awake. In fact, Peter was so wide awake, he pulled his sword out and was ready to go to fight, go to war for Jesus Christ. Now, it's a tragedy to think that the Antichrist, which Judas is a type of, would wake the church up just in time for the rapture, and we would not be awake because Jesus himself is telling us. It's the 15-year anniversary of 9/11, and I fear that many of our Christians, and I know this is not, I've preached this at my church, I've preached this all over the country, and I thank God for this particular message, and I believe in maintenance messages. This is not a message of rebuke, but just an encouragement, because I think those are going to be the biggest temptations for us in these last days. Many of us have been saved a long time. We're here on a Sunday night. We're in church. We're not struggling with a lot of the things that the world has to offer. Our biggest enemy is the flesh, and so if the devil can just get us a little bit sleepy and get us out of sync, time will pass quickly, and the next thing you know, the rapture takes place. We say, oh no, I missed out on my opportunity to do something for God. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm just going to throw this out. This is interesting. Verse 3. He's writing again to the church. The church is going to be raptured. But watch what he says to the church. This is an epistle to Christians, the church, Gentile church. In verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." Watch this. "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Now this is an interesting statement. Watch this now. "And that man of sin," next two words, "be revealed, the son of perdition." Could it be that right before the rapture takes place, we're going to know exactly who the Antichrist is, but by that point, it'll be too late because the rapture is literally going to happen. It's right around the corner. And by the way, it could be just around the corner. Now, I know there was a Hillary Clinton joke up here somewhere, and I'm more than willing to read those jokes, but I will say this. I get asked sometimes, "Preacher, do you think Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton were the Antichrist?" I personally think that would be an insult to the devil if those two were the Antichrist, but that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion, okay? That's not preaching. That's not Bible. And I know we have visitors here. Please come back. I'm not the regular preacher. I'll be back in Missouri by Wednesday night. So, no, I won't be in Missouri, but I'll be somewhere Wednesday night. But I'll be in church Wednesday night. I'll tell you that, but not this church, okay? But the fact is simply this. Think about this, church. Listen, I believe many Christians are in danger of, look, we don't think it's bad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with physical sleep. We need it. But sometimes we almost think we can spiritually get comfortable. We get in a comfort zone. We're sitting in our pews. My family's in church with me. I put money in the offering plate. We come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and little do we know, we are slowly starting to fall into a little slumber, a sleep. And Paul is saying tonight, no, no, no. Don't get like that, church. Don't get like that, Christians. It's time to wake up. It's time to stay awake. Sometimes people ask me, Brother Randy, do you wish you could preach and live in a different dispensation or a different time in history? Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. I think we live in the most exciting days in the history of mankind. I got to see 37 teenagers saved at one camp this week, this summer, and I could go on and on about the things that God is doing across this country. The Noblets. How many of y'all know Brother Roddy Noblet up in Ohio? His family's in this church. We preached their public school revival last Easter weekend. 60 public school teenagers got saved. I mean, God's still working. God's still moving. God's still shaking things up. Bahamas a couple years ago, preached in Freeport. 106 Bohemians got saved in a one-week revival. Hey, God's still working. God's still moving. I don't want to fall asleep and miss it. So Jesus is coming and saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. Many of us are being stirred. Oh, here comes a preacher. Here comes a revival. Here comes a missionary. Well, Brother Riggs wins tonight. Wasn't that phenomenal? And we get stirred a little bit. Jesus walks away. And we fall back asleep. And then all of a sudden the Antichrist shows up. Wake up, get your swords out now. Too late, buddy. Too late. The trumpet's gonna sound. See, I have the unique, awesome responsibility of being the firstborn child of my family. Firstborns are special people. How many are firstborn people in this building? Raise your hand, amen. It's an honor to have helped my parents raise my two younger siblings that are here tonight. My brother Nick, over here, and my sister, did she leave? Man, I did a bad job raising her, that's for sure. She knew I was gonna tell the story, all right? But mom and dad, we witnessed to this. One of my duties as a teenager was to wake up my siblings in the morning, and my brother Nick was always pretty good about getting up in the morning. My sister at that time did not like to get up early. So when I was about 17, that would make her about 12, and I was a senior in high school, and I remember a couple times I'd come downstairs in our home in Kentucky there, and my dad would say, Randy, go wake up Jenny. Say, tell her dad said get up. So I'd walk up to the stairs, I'd kick her door open, and I'd kick her bed, and she'd look out, and I'd say, Dad said get up right now, and she'd just roll back over and put the covers on her head. That's one. That's one. I go back down the stairs and I look at my dad and he said, is she up? I said, no, she's not up yet. He said, go up and tell her. Dad said, get up now. I said, okay. I walked right back up the stairs, kicked the door open, kicked her bed. Said, Dad said, get up now. And she looked at me, roll over, cover her head again. I was like, okay, that's two. I walk down the stairs and I look at my dad and he looks at me and we don't have to talk. He's like ESPN, da-na-na, da-na-na. You know, I read his mind, he read my mind. He says, yes, go ahead, son. And I walk to the kitchen and I get a cup about this big. And I fill it up with water. Now, my baptism doctrine was not correct back then, but I was practicing to be a Baptist preacher, amen. And I filled up the cup of water and put some ice cubes in there sometimes just for special effect. Now, one of the biggest misconceptions about deaf people is people think that deaf people are quiet people. No, they are not. Deaf people are the loudest people on this planet because they can't hear themselves making noise. So, man, I mean, when they open a door and slam a door and open a cupboard and slam a pot and a pan around, the whole house knows it's time to get. We never needed alarm clocks, did we, bro? I mean, all we had to hear was mom and dad getting up, and it was time to get up. So I'd walk up those steps, kick the door open, and threw that water on her. Before I hit the bottom of the steps, I heard my 12-year-old sister, scream as loud as she could possibly scream. And I get down the steps and do my famous smile. It just felt so good. Yes, it's awesome being a firstborn, amen. But don't miss the point. If she would have woke up the first time because dad told her to, she would not have had to get a cup of water on her bed. What happened was she kept falling back asleep. And so she had to find a different drastic measure to get her up out of bed to get things going. And church, listen, I don't want to get to that point where I, as a Christian, in these last days, it's 2016, I mean 15 years since 9/11, our country, listen, you'd think 9/11 would have shook us up, but since 9/11, our country has gone even worse. We're embracing religions of murder, and we're oppressing Christianity now. We have embraced the marriage definition now, which, by the way, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says, God's definition will never change. God called marriage the way it is, and I don't care who says it, Mr. Obama or Supreme Court, God's definition will always be the right definition. And we live in these last days, and boy, people say it's getting dark, it's getting worse. But hey, if it's darker out there, guess what? Our light can shine brighter, hallelujah. And church, it's time to wake up. It's time to get stirred up. It's time to get excited. It's time to get fired up again. It's time to anticipate the rapture. It's time to get like this energy and say, hey, he's coming back. Stay awake. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let me give you five quick things tonight that'll help us stay awake, and I'll be done. Number one. Four or five. I may give you one. I may drop one, depending on time. I'll be quick. I got about 50 more minutes. I'll be done right on time. Number one, significant signs. Signs. The signs tell us he's coming back. The signs alone ought to wake us up. I could quit right now, give the invitation, because listen, the signs of the time tell us it's time to wake up. Look at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago, and he talks about the signs of the time. Can you imagine the comparison now? I mean, if you'll just study Israel alone and find out what's happening in the country of Israel, we are so close to the rapture taking place. I do not want to miss it. I know I need physical sleep, but spiritually, I want to be wide awake. Spiritually, I want to be in the church. Spiritually, I want to be in the Bible. Spiritually, I want to be in an excited, anticipating mood, expecting God to do something great soon. All right, that's number one, significant signs. Number two, the solid scriptures ought to give us a reason to keep us awake. I want to spend more time on 3, 4, or 5, maybe. Watch this, solid scriptures. You know why we should stay awake? Because Jesus said he's coming back. I mean, that enough, that's the reason. John chapter 14, I love what one preacher said one time. He goes, you receive Jesus Christ, you get saved, but one day Jesus is going to come receive us. Isn't that a blessing? It becomes a two-way street. I received him, and someday he's going to receive me, and he's going to receive you. But the sure scriptures ought to keep us awake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety and sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in the darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the night, and not of the day. Of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch be sober. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, church, the Bible says, hey, every single thing God prophesied eventually becomes history. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. One time it was prophetic to say a virgin would give birth to a baby boy in Bethlehem. Guess what? That's history. One time it was prophetic that a man, a perfect full-blooded Jew, 100% God, 100% man, who would walk on water and touch the deaf and heal the blind and raise the dead and save people. He would die on a cross and he would live again 3 days later. That prophecy has become history. So guess what? God's batting with a perfect record tonight, and God says I'm coming back. So if God says he's coming back, mark it down, cash that check, take it to the bank. God will come back someday. He's got a good track record, doesn't he? So we should stay awake for those first two reasons right alone. I could give the invitation right now, but let me give you a couple more and I'll be done. Number one, I said it's the significant signs. Number two, solid scriptures. Number three, and I like this one. You know what'll keep you awake in these last days? Shouting salvation. Shouting salvation. Now look, I know about your ministry. I don't know a lot about this church, but I think we can all agree on this. The church needs to get excited about being saved again. Yeah. I mean, we need an old-fashioned revival of realizing how good it is that we're saved. I mean, there's 7 billion plus people on this planet right now, last I checked. And God let us be born in these United States of America, where there's freedom of religion, where the Bible's been preached, where you can still buy a King James Bible at Dollar General for a dollar and a King James Bible for $4.97 at Walmart. You can drive up and down the coast of this country and still find Christian radio stations all over this country. Not endorsing all of them, but you can still find them. And I'm talking about you can turn on television and hear somebody preaching still nowadays. I mean, we live in a country where we've been able to bless to hear the gospel. We're saved. And now we're sitting in a church like this on a Sunday night, hearing the Bible preached, hearing a choir sing, hearing great messages this morning, getting stirred up. Why? Because one day when God came to where I was, he plucked me out of the miry clay. He saved my soul. I became a child of God. Hey, can I remind us tonight? It is so good to be saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Boy, I get excited about this verse. Don't mind me. I'm finna get Baptist Costal on y'all. Let me warn you. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8, but let us whoever the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Watch this now. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, not by Muhammad, not by Buddha, not by any other name, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of this universe. He came to where I was. He plucked me out of that miry clay. He wrote my name down in Lamb's Book of Life. God became my Father. Jesus became my Savior. Holy Ghost became my Comforter. Bible became my book. Heaven became my home. And the rapture became my hope. I'm simply saying it's time to get excited. Excited about being saved. That's what. Thank God we're saved. I thank God I'm saved. Now don't mind me. I'm going to give you some of my carnal confessions right now. Actually, 24 hours ago exactly, bro. We were leaving the swamp in Gainesville. But don't mind us. We're diehard Gators fans. Forgive me for that later, amen. Please forgive me. But we love the Gators. I'm 41 years old, and I never went to a game in the swamp until yesterday. And we went there, and we had a time. But, you know, I was thinking. I looked at my wife halfway through, and it was we won 45-7. How many Gators fans got in the building? Oh, I knew I'd be in good company. You say that in Missouri, they almost hang on the main street, amen. But I was so excited. I remember halfway through the game, I was jumping up and down because he scored another touchdown. I signed to my wife in that big stadium. I said, babe, at least I'm consistent, right? And she said, at least I'm consistent too. She was just about excited about the game as she is in church, and I was just excited about the game as I am in church. What are you saying, Brother Randy? I'm saying this. We live in a generation now where we get excited everywhere except church. I mean, we get excited about a job promotion. We get excited because our kid scored 30 points. We get excited because our turtle ate its first piece of lettuce. We get excited because we got a good deal on some clothes. We get excited on a Black Friday deal. But then we come to church, and a lot of times we're just... Little girl asked me one time, why do you yell when you preach? I said, if you had to look at what I had to look at, you'd yell too. Heard about the church one time, a man had a heart attack. They came in and pulled out four people before they finally found the right man. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, we've lost our shout. Listen, can I tell you something? People say sometimes, man, one guy, I've heard this several times in my 18 years, I don't like your church, it's too loud. I said, well, you're going to have a rough time in heaven. Look here, it's going to be so loud in heaven, my family ain't going to be deaf no more. Wow, hallelujah for that. My dad and mom and my sister are going to hear loud and clear. Why? Because heaven is an incredible place. It's a place of no more cancer. It's a place of no more religious oppression. Pray for our brother in Russia. It's a place where Jesus is king, not by election, not by some candidate, not by some trial. He's earned that right because he died on the cross. He shed his blood. He lived again 3 days later. Hey, he is the name above all names. Jesus Christ is my personal savior. He's your personal savior. And we ought to get a little excited about that. Why? Because we're never going to touch hell. I said we're never going to touch hell. Sweat break. We're never going to touch hell. Hey, we're going to heaven someday. We're walking on streets of gold. Hey, we don't have to worry about sin, death, hell. Thank God the devil won't be there. I said the devil won't be there. I said the devil won't be there. He'll be cast away forever. We're going someday. Why? Because we got saved. I said we got saved. And it's time to get excited. It's time to shout. It's time to praise. It's time to let this world know, thank God I'm saved. Last night on our way back from the football game, we stopped off to get a little something to eat. I bumped into a man that I know from a camp I preach in Arkansas. See, everybody comes to Florida. This is the promised land. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. By the way, I was born here. God stuck me in Missouri, as far away from either coast, because he knew if I was close to the ocean, I'd be swimming a lot more than I should be. But what are you saying, brother? I'm saying we were talking, and he was telling me about how he knows, how the connection in Arkansas, a camp I preached at, he knows my friend, and we're talking about that. And so I said, in the middle of the restaurant, I said, hey, do you know the Lord? He said, you better believe I do. And a lady in line standing behind us, she said, hey, I like it. Go ahead and say it louder. She got excited. She goes, it's time we talk about the Lord in public. I remember a preacher one time he was bringing me to the airport after I preached a youth conference, and he was late, and I was afraid I was going to miss my flight. I came running up to the counter, and the lady was sitting there. I said, man, did I make it? She said, yes, you did. I said, praise Jesus. And it got real awkward. And all of a sudden, this black sister was sitting over there behind the counter. She said, help yourself. I said, I will. Hey, on our way in tonight, we saw a rainbow. I'm talking about a biblical rainbow. I'm talking about what God started the rainbow for as a promise. I'm talking about, hey, the world has gotten bold about their sin, and while the world and sin is coming out of the closet, the Christians are going back in. I tell you what to keep you from going into the closet. Start shouting about salvation again. It's not time to get quiet. It's not time to go to sleep. It's not time to go dead. It's time to let this world know. It's time to tell the devil, hey, Jesus done saved me. He put a light inside me, and you can't take it out. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God I'm saved today. That's what... Boy, I thank God I'm saved. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're never going to touch hell? Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Aren't you glad that no matter what happens on this planet, no matter who wins the election this fall, no matter what happens in this world, that he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's high and lifted up, and he's coming back someday? I don't want to miss it. Thank God for that. God is good. Number one, significant signs. But Carter hasn't called it, has he? Good. Get him off the pulpit now. Just making sure. Significant signs. Sure scriptures. Shouting salvation. Let me just give you one more and I'll be done. I mean, I could spend a little time on this one. Dude, it's good. Standing for separation. That's a good one. But I don't think this church needs it. Y'all doing pretty good in that light. It is so refreshing to come to church that still has the old time standards. Thank you, church. A lot of my contemporaries in the late 30s and early 40s, they're banding all the standards because they think it'd be better to preach in the world. You know what I love to tell them, brother? It worked for me. Now, we don't have to drop the standards. I liked it when the church influenced the world. I'm tired of the world influencing the church. I knew y'all would like that here. I feel right at home preaching on that here. Some places I preach, they look at me like an Amish man in the Best Buy. Somebody say amen right there. God help us. Number one, significant signs. Number two, solid scriptures. Number three, shout salvation. Number four, standing for separation. Number five, let me give you this one. The sounds of the Savior ought to start waking us up. The sounds of the Savior. There's that song, babe, right? I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Y'all heard that song before? It's like talking about how you, if you get real quiet. By the way, the reason we don't hear that no more is because we're so noisy. Dead air is like the worst thing. You get quiet, people get spooked. Got to have noise all the time. We got earbuds, radio. You know, we need to go back to be still and know that I'm God. Because when you get quiet, sometimes you hear things like this. And look at 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm just about through. Y'all doing great, man. It's an honor. I mean that. Thank you. Thank you so much. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So it's going to be loud. Not with a whisper. Not a, hey, y'all, let's go. No. No. It's going to be so loud, it's going to shake hell itself. Amen. Well, watch this. And it says, and a shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. We got an instrument folk in here, right? Trump. What's that? Trumpet, right? Now, look, I've been pastoring for 18 years, and when you're pastor, man, you know, you get invited to everything, right? I mean, I've been to co-ed soccer games. Back when I was growing up, all they had was 12th grade graduation. Now you got kindergarten graduation. Third grade graduation, sixth grade graduation, eighth grade graduation, my turtle ate its first piece of lettuce graduation, 12th grade graduation. I mean, it's like, man, aim high. Go for 12 grades, okay? You know what I'm talking about? But one of the things I never understood, my family's got very musically inclined, but was recitals. How many of y'all have kids that play instruments and you go to recitals sometimes, you know? And these kids will practice on the piano and the violin and the banjo and all that. And then all of a sudden you get together and you have a recital. And I remember walking in sometimes to these recitals and sitting there by my wife. And, man, they're up on the stage and the platform of the church. And it's awful. You just hear, I mean, it's awful. I'm sitting there thinking, man, why couldn't I be deaf like my mom and daddy, amen? Now, look, I don't know music. I'm going to be honest right now. I don't know music. I grew up in a deaf home. My kids want me to learn learn harmony. I don't even know who Melody is yet. I heard she's a nice girl. Somebody say amen right there. So they sing, I sign, S-I-N-G, I-S-I-G-N, amen. Never have to worry about signing off key, hallelujah. But they'll be doing that, and I told my wife, I said, why are they doing that? She said, well, they got to tune their instruments because, you know, when you drive in the car, humidity affects the strings and all that. And I said, no, I figured it out. The reason they do that is because anything after that's going to sound better than what you just heard. Well, let me encourage you with something. If you get still and know that he's God again, if you get real quiet, it's almost like you can hear them tuning the instruments in heaven. The sounds of the Savior. The Savior. Listen, he's coming back. And look, just like a groom, just like I was on July 5th, 1997, when I married my wife, the anticipation, the excitement, all he's waiting is for his father to say, go get your bride. And Jesus is anticipating it. Listen, I've wondered sometimes, one of the reasons we're not having the rapture yet is because would you want to come see you as excited as you are or not as excited as you are? If I walked in that church that day of the wedding and somebody said my wife was in the room crying and screaming, not wanting to get married, I don't know if I'd want to get married that day too. Maybe we should be as excited as Jesus is to come about him coming to get us. The Lord used my dog, our dog, to teach me this truth, and I'm done with this one. My kids came to me several years and said, Daddy, we want a pet. We travel a lot, so our pets live at my parents' house half the year. And I said, all right, we'll get a pet. We got a parakeet. It died. We got another parakeet. It died. So my kids said, Daddy, let's get a dog. I said, all right, we'll go get a dog. My wife said she wants a dog that don't shed. So we got a Shih Tzu Maltese. Anybody know what a Shih Tzu Maltese is? For those of you that don't know, here's what it is. It's a rat that got dipped in a bucket of glue, and you drive to a beauty salon nearby, and you slide it across the floor at the end of the day, whatever hair sticks to that dog, that's your dog. And his name is Sport. And this dog, I'm telling you, this dog is something else, man. Me and him have a unique relationship. He loves my girls, but he always follows me around. I'm like, get away, but every morning I go out to work out, he's sitting right there looking at me, But I'll never forget one day, I came home from church on a Sunday afternoon, we pulled into the garage. And we pull in the garage, we're getting ready to have Sunday supper, sitting down there and eating after church, Sunday morning service. And we walked in the house, and there he was. There was Sport. And I mean, he was so excited that we were home. Now, here's the deal about a dog. If I go to my dog this Sunday morning and say, hey, dog, Sport, we'll be back at 12:30. Watch this now. He's not going to go look at a clock and say, oh, I got 4 hours, and go lay down and set an alarm, and then at 12:15, get up. No. You know what I learned about dogs? Every little noise, they run and look and see if it might be the master coming home. And there was a Sunday afternoon in particular. I opened that door, my wife and kids walked in, and there he was jumping up and down. Just wagging that tail all excited. I mean, he was just so excited jumping up and down, and I was like, trying to kick him, get him out of the way. And the Holy Spirit of God smote my heart right there and said, Randy, that dog's more excited about his master coming home than you are about your master coming. And I made a decision that Sunday afternoon that I was not going to let some little Shih Tzu Maltese dog named Sport be more excited about his master coming to the house than I'm about my master coming. He's coming, church. I said he's coming, church. He's coming. I'm going to close this message by telling you when he's coming. Boy, it got quiet right there. See, the reason a dog gets so excited is because he does not know what time we're coming home. So the anticipation of not knowing should be greater than if you did know. Because if you told me tonight, I've got to lose 40 pounds in 6 months, I wouldn't start tomorrow. I'm still on vacation. But if you told me I had to lose 40 pounds in 6 weeks, I'd have probably started yesterday. Because that date gives me urgency. So I'm going to tell you when Jesus is coming back. How many of y'all want to know when Jesus is coming back? Y'all ready? How many are curious about it? You ready? I'll tell you right now. Anytime. That's the, some people predict May of 2017. Come on, man. Don't do that. So many of them have failed before. Let me tell you, it's any time. That is as urgent as it gets. And that's why that dog hears a little crack. He hears a bird hit the window. He hears somebody drive by. He runs and looks because it just might be his master coming in church. We ought to come to church, sit in the pew with that anticipation, that excitement like a child on Christmas Eve. Why? Because the trumpet's out of the case. It's being cleaned. The sounds of the Savior, the sure scriptures, the solid scriptures, the sure significant signs, and now shouting salvation. We ought to be so excited and say, hey, I'm not going to sleep. I know I got to sleep physically, but spiritually, Jesus, I'm ready. Come. Hey, we're ready. But until then, work, for the night is coming. So here's the title of the message, and I close the title at the end. We started the service tonight with a Bible story in Matthew 26. Jesus and the disciples. Sadly, Jesus was not the one that woke up the disciples. It was Judas. So here's the title tonight. Who's going to wake y'all up? Who's going to wake y'all up? I preach this to myself tonight because I want the Lord to know that I want to stay awake because the Bible tells me to stay awake spiritually. I don't want to drift into some slumber and then finally people say, you know what? It's that person's the Antichrist. Oh my goodness, I got to get busy. Trumpet sounds. And I missed my opportunity to serve. This is an amazing ministry, an amazing church. But sometimes even in great ministries and great churches, it's easy to drift off and fall asleep. My niece and nephew are here, my younger niece and nephew, and I'm done, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. They're in Magic Kingdom on Friday. One of the most exciting places in the world, right? One of the most expensive places in the world. So you can meet a mouse. They were in one of the most exciting places on the planet. Watch this now. But they fell asleep and took a nap, about an hour nap, actually, Friday afternoon. Sometimes even in the midst of the most exciting places on this planet, you can start to drift and fall asleep. Paul says, don't. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Others, y'all sleep. Help yourself. I want to be like that dog because he's coming. Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight. It's been an honor to preach in this pulpit. I mean that. That's my daddy saying amen over there. He's fired up, amen. I'll turn the invitation over to a preacher right away as soon as possible. But let me just ask real quickly. The rapture is going to happen soon. If the rapture happened right now, if the trumpet sounded right now and this microphone dropped and you heard a, would you go? Would you be taken, or would you be left behind? Listen, church, if you're not sure you're saved, if there's some in this building that's not sure you're going to heaven someday when you die, please get that settled. Please know that you know that you know that you're saved. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in this building that say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. If the rapture happens, I'm afraid something might happen. I want to make sure I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. If that's you, would you raise your hand over the building? I want to pray for you. Anybody like there in the building today? I see your hand raised right over here. That's a blessing. Who else? Preacher, I want to make sure I'm saved. I want to know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven someday. I love it when one hand gets raised, because usually when one hand gets raised, that means you're not going to be alone. Somebody else raise your hand. To that young man, if you're not sure you're saved, I would encourage you to just come to the front and meet a man and say, hey, meet one of these preachers. Say, hey, I need to know for sure I'm going to heaven. God bless you. Now, church, let me ask you this. Are you awake or are you asleep? Or are you getting sleepy? It's easy sometimes as a Christian to get discouraged by all the negative news. But as a church, we've got a Bible we can read. You've got a great pastor, an amazing man of God, who's faithfully executed this Bible, preached this pulpit many, many years. You got great staff here, and you got great things happening here. Don't fall asleep through it. I was thinking Sunday night while we were driving all night, somebody had to stay awake, and there's always going to be somebody awake keeping this thing going. But make sure you're awake too, spiritually. The piano's going to play softly. Let's go ahead and stand. Many are already at the altar. You just obey the Lord and come. If you raise your hand for salvation, I invite you to come. If you raise your hand, you're not sure you're saved, you just come ahead. Landmark Baptist Church, thank you. Brother Carter, thank you. It's been an honor standing in your pulpit. I love this church. I thank you for your influence all across the globe.
I'll say it like a little kid. I hope our